For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included on the print version are omitted from this audio version. Biblical practices. Restitution. Restitution is the act of making reparation or repayment for loss, damage, or injury that has been done to another. In the religious sense, it is a voluntary act, not an imposed punishment or repayment demanded by the one who experienced the loss. The Bible is clear that Christians are to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man, and that the desire to straighten out one's past is an evidence of true conversion. Thus, restitution may not be a requirement for salvation, but it certainly is a result of salvation. Genuine conversion puts within the heart of the newly saved individual a desire to make every possible effort to correct and amend wrong actions of the past, and that includes making restoration whenever possible. Passages in both Old and New Testaments address this subject. Restitution was a strict requirement of the Old Testament law. For example, it was required for harm to human life, for theft, misuse, or destruction of another's property, for harm to another's animals, for sin against God's holy things, and for any unfaithfulness to God. Leviticus 6, 2-5 describes situations in which not only was stolen property to be restored, but an additional 1/5 of the value was to be given as recompense. Payment was made to the owner of the property, not to the government or a third party, and the compensation was to be accompanied by a guilt offering to the Lord. The guilty individual was instructed to make restitution to the one who was injured on the same day that he brought his sacrifice before the Lord, indicating the importance of making amends. The moral principles of restitution that were instituted in the rites of the Mosaic Law were also exemplified in the New Testament. A New Testament example of restitution being voluntarily offered is found in the account of Zacchaeus, who evidenced a genuine desire to make right the wrongs of his past upon conversion. Though he had been well known as a wicked and oppressive man, he declared to the Lord, "The half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Luke 19:8. His words indicate that he had been guilty of defrauding people, but now was remorseful over his past deeds and was committed to making restitution. Believers in the early church were instructed to render, therefore, to all their dues and owe no man anything, and these mandates could certainly include restitution. Restitution clearly is necessary in matters where there has been fraud, theft, or dishonest gains. However, it is also necessary to make amends for wrongdoing that inflicted loss or pain upon others. When one has caused harm, restoration is a requirement. A person is not exempt from making restitutions when the injured party is ignorant of the wrong. God requires that a just recompense be given to every man. Wrong deeds will either be made right in this world or be faced in the world to come. The individual cannot always be governed by the civil statutes in determining whether he should make restitution, since civil laws permit many things that are not allowed by the law of God. Counsel for ministers. As ministers, we may at times be called upon to counsel with individuals who have questions regarding certain types of restitution, for example, confessions that would implicate or bring injury to others. It is prudent to remember that we do not give legal advice. Our role is spiritual in nature, focusing on the individual's moral obligation toward God and those they have injured, and prayerfully offering counsel regarding ways reparation could best be accomplished. In the case of criminal acts, the obligation upon the individual is to confess his part of the crime regardless of the penalty that could result. This is what God requires. However, in some instances, it may be impossible to confess wrongdoing without incriminating others as well. In situations of this nature, it may be best to suggest the person obtains legal counsel as a preliminary step to confession. In the case of adultery, attempts to make amends must be approached prayerfully. The circumstances and personalities involved will influence how such a matter should be made right. You may wish to consult with a senior pastor when faced with a situation of this nature.